I think more guys should watch 500 Days of Summer. and realize that Joseph Gordon-Levitt in that movie is a warning shot across the bow.
Oh yeah.
Of this guy is miserable and miserable to watch and just like a horrendous. I think there's a lot of guys that write in that are Joseph Gordon-Levitt and a lot of girls that write in that are Zooey Deschanel from 500 Days of Summer.
Sure.
I think everybody should watch this movie and understand that like you having this like dreamy idea of how things are going to work out never goes the way that you're going to think. The woman is always going to disappoint you because what you're really looking for is God. And so just kind of get a hold of yourself.
I know it hurts.
I'm sorry. This is not your point.
All right. You came to the right place, you ding dong. It's called communication, baby.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that's going to die in your arms tonight. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. This is a special episode of The Crunch called Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, where I, Nurse Patrick, am joined by our general practitioner, Nurse, or Dr. Ethan, excuse me. Yes. And he answers your questions about dating, because we get a lot of questions about dating in our Discord. If you want to send us a dating question, you can go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord. And it'll give you access to the Dating Corner channel. And you can just submit a question there. We will answer it on the show. And someone will probably answer it right away. So if you have an urgent dating question, just bit.ly/crunchdiscord. And then in a couple weeks, it'll show up on this episode. Ethan.
Yep.
We had a good episode last week. A lot of conversation about you getting exposed.
Did I get exposed?
You did get exposed. It was what did I get exposed? Frontal exposition.
Not for free, certainly.
that's $50 tier. The $50
yeah. I didn't get exposed. I think people were maybe saying, "Oh, he's washed. He doesn't have a left hand. You know, his best years are behind him. He'll never have an MVP season again." But I think I'm back. You know, like you tried to expose me, but I'm about to drop 50. Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't understand. I don't play or watch basketball.
I'm talking about baseball, you idiot.
Oh. Well, there you go.
I was talking about basketball.
I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
Imagine being like, I'm going to drop 50 in a baseball game.
I know, right?
What can incredible. I say? I'm the best to ever do it. I'm ready to answer the questions. I'm a doctor of the mind and a surgeon of the heart, and I want to solve people's problems. Right now.
Let's just get into it then.
Let's jump.
This is an old question, but it's from Normo. Okay. Hi guys, long time listener, first time caller. I have a dating question. Is it okay to be interested in someone if they aren't a practicing Catholic? Gotten heat from family members about this recently when I said I didn't even want to go on a date with a guy who was no longer practicing his faith. There's a little more to the story, but I can share later if you want. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too picky and should be more open. The whole flirt to convert thing doesn't appeal to me. I know how important evangelization is, but when it comes to dating, I feel like that's just more work. I'm open to different opinions on this. I have a limited dating experience, so it's nice to hear about what others have to say on this matter. Thanks. P.S. I'm new to the Discord. This is my first post. I'm really enjoying this community, and I look forward to being a part of it. Thanks, Normo. Wow. Good to have you. Normo, in being a part of our amazing community by going to bit.ly/Discord.
/Kristen Stewart.
bit.ly/crunchdiscord. Ethan.
This is a great question. I empathize with this because once I was at a family cookout, not with my immediate family, but with my extended family, and I was just saying openly to my uncles who just don't care that like, hey, I don't think I could ever date a non-Catholic. And it was really weird. It was really weird. Like looking back, I probably did a lot of damage to like my family's relations by like how nonchalant I was in talking about like my pro-Catholicism stances. I think I really did a number. I made my parents look bad, and I feel bad about that. However, so I've been in this position where I've like said openly and I've believed openly, like, I could never date a Protestant. And I haven't dated a Protestant. But I don't think it's the best stance. in the world, because the question initially is like, is it okay to be interested in someone that's non-Catholic? Of course, yeah. It's okay to be interested in someone. Women and men are wonderful to be around, romantically. So it's fine to like be enjoy yeah. the presence of someone else, even if they aren't Catholic. I think it's case by case as to whether you should proceed in the relationship. And the only way that you can know that is by getting to know them and figuring out, like, let's say they're Catholic, but they're not practicing. Okay. Why are they not practicing? Because they think abortion is great and they think that gay marriage is awesome. And they think that, Ruth Bader Ginsburg should be canonized. And they think that, you know, and like they just are.
In my opinion, she's right after C.S. Lewis. The second person that we declare unequivocally
in hell. They don't believe in the Eucharist, right? They don't go to confession. Like if they're just like, you know, all in against Catholicism, that's a different story than someone who maybe is not practicing, but just like doesn't know. You know what I mean? And so I think every situation is different. But I would hate to put an artificial barrier, especially now when it's so difficult for people to find a good relationship. It feels weird to me to go into the dating field and be like, well, I'm only going to date this type of person. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, who's that really for? You know, it feels like to me you're scared of it.
I might need to expose Ethan again because your opinion. Like, no, your opinion has not always been, I will never date a Protestant.
Yeah.
Shall we reach all the way back into the very early days of the episode where you had three tiers of? Do you remember this?
That's true. Yeah. I do remember that.
At very minimum, they have to be baptized in breathing. That was Ethan's step one, and then it's a little bit better. Step two is confirmed and catechized, so they actually know what they're talking about and they've been through the sacraments and they're fine. And then, best case scenario, pretty and practicing. We're all shooting for that, but here's where we'll go down.
I forgot that it was really funny. Yeah.
You didn't get to use it very often because fortunately for both you and me, we were in situations where we had an embarrassment of riches when we were in, like, we had access to every Catholic. We were only in Catholic circles.
Yes. But
not everyone is in that situation.
I self-selected out by being somewhat ugly and impish. And so I was not able to date many women during that period of time.
Fair. Is that it? Sorry, I didn't mean it like that. I don't think you were impish.
I think I maybe had some impish qualities. I think maybe I danced around like I was standing on hot coals and went, ooh, ah, wee, hee, hoo, ho, and I somewhat tortured people with my presence.
But we all know the story of Roger Rabbit, right? Very goofy guy. Married a beautiful
woman. Someone framed him.
He did.
Yeah.
But he was eventually fine. He married a beautiful woman named Jessica Rabbit. She loved him because he made her laugh. She did cheat on him, but she played patty cake with another man.
Oh, can't have that. Yeah. I've never seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit, so
it's kind of funny.
You're hitting something that I'm
for a cartoon of. Playing patty cake is like literally playing patty cake is equivalent to adultery. It's kind of funny.
I've seen Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Yeah.
But that's the only sort of cartoon person film other than Space Jam, which everyone has seen.
Mm-hmm.
Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers familiar with, and I've not seen Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. I've seen the Chris Farley Chip and Dale sketch.
Mm-hmm. No, not that kind of chip. I was picturing Chris Farley dressed up like a chipmunk, but no, it's him basically naked, isn't it?
He doesn't have a shirt on.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. America needed to see that. America needed to heal after the Berlin Wall came down. They needed Chris Farley to take off his clothes. What? after Watergate, they really needed. That's more accurate.
The problem is that we don't have any. Like what we needed after Ukraine. Or after Israel, or after, you know, some other national tragedy, international tragedy. We don't have any fat comedians that are willing to take off their shirt and dance for us anymore.
No, we don't.
We don't have that. We've got fat comedians willing to go on podcasts and talk about sexual act, but we don't have anybody willing to trip over a table for our delight anymore.
I know.
And that's what we lost with Christopher Farley. It was really disappointing.
It's just, it's awful. We need everyone on Saturday Night Live is ripped now.
Is that true?
Yeah, you know, like the host of
Is
Weekend
that another
Update
way to say gay?
The host of Weekend Update used to be a goofball, but now the host of Weekend Update is married to Scarlett Johansson. That can't be allowed. If you're married to Scarlett Johansson, you can't be a comedian.
Right. You have to be kind of bad looking to be a good. This is why Matt Rife is not. He's not a comedian. I will hold to this. He's a very successful performer. But he's not a comedian. He's a good-looking guy who does soft boy liberal crowd work, and it really makes me upset. You know,
I don't know who this is.
Oh, let me just. Hey, I feel like every show that Matt Rife goes to, he's like, put all the marginalized people in the front row so I can be super progressive in my crowd work. Drives me insane, dude. It's
oh my
not
gosh!
Real comedy.
The first photo you look at when you Google Matt Rife is like, it. He looks not real.
Yes.
How much work has he gotten done?
A lot, I think.
There's no way that's natural.
He had buccal fat procedure, I'm pretty sure.
That's got to be it. Yeah. That's got to be it. Anyway, you got to be a bad-looking guy if you want to. You got to be able to hold people's attention through some way other than your face in order to be a good comedian.
Yes, I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. And that's why you should be open to dating people who aren't practicing.
Yeah, we brought.
Did
it
we
back
fully
around.
Answer the question? Were there any elements
of
the question?
I think we did. Yeah. It's you know, it's a matter of like they. I respect your. I think it's good to have that as a tangible, real. You know, like I. This is a strong preference. However, having it as a blanket is usually not good because you need to get to know the person. Mm-hmm. And this is a Sherry Waddell thing. Like, don't accept a label in place of a story. Right, like. I did date a Protestant girl in high school. The difference was that she was incredibly devout and she believed in the Eucharist. And so it's like and so we weren't equally yoked in every sense, but like we did have that, you know, it was clear that the path was either conversion to Catholicism or breaking up. So like that's the thing, right? It's like, the actual line is you have to raise your kids Catholic. That's the actual line. Mm-hmm. And the line before that is it's easier to raise your kids Catholic if both of you are Catholic, but not impossible. And so I think what you're doing is you're like substituting the actual line for the fake line, the imaginary line. You know, it's easier to say, you know, don't date a non-Catholic because then you don't have to worry about not raising your kids Catholic. So you think.
Yes.
Sometimes Catholics are not devout.
The Maginot line.
The what?
Anyway.
I never saw Goodfellas. All right. Hey, gang. That's not true. Hey, gang. Second question.
Howdy.
I'm a 19-year-old male in my first year of college.
Good
in November.
For you.
Congratulations. The whole world is yours.
I know.
Right?
Yeah. It's a cool guy coming in here talking about his cool life. Shut up, man. I'm not going to give you any advice. Next question.
Go jump in a river. Next question. Yeah. I saw this tweet today that was like, life is different when you're not in a demographic that McKinsey consultants salivate over.
True.
Did you see, like, it's like, I'm a middle-aged man with conservative opinions. No one is targeting me with advertisements. Nope. You know, it's like the only thing that are advertised to me are supplements, dietary supplements. Yeah. Anyway. Hey, gang. I'm a 19-year-old male in my first year of college. In November, I met a girl at a party who was Catholic and low-key out of my league. We exchanged contacts and we talked every day for months. I weighed on making a move, but ultimately decided against it. Dude fumbled. He fumbled. No.
This is the price you have to pay. This you get to be 19 and you get to be in college, but you have to do things like this. This is the toll that you have to that you've now paid.
Nothing in life is free. Youth is not free. You pay for it.
Indeed. That's crazy.
In lack of knowledge.
That's absolutely wild. Continue.
I was nervous about school. I told myself I only wanted to use her, even though I haven't had a problem with chastity in past relationships. I distanced myself. We ghosted each other. Fast forward, I went home for Easter, and my sister brought this girl up in conversation. I told my mom about it earlier in the year, and she had told my sister. She said it sounded like I'd been afraid before and encouraged me to reach back out again. I thought about it and asked God to make it very clear if he wanted me to reach back out to this girl. Well, last weekend, my roommate bumped into this girl at a party. He said she couldn't stop talking about me. It's not over. Hold on.
It's not over. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
So he brought her and her friends back to our room to see me. It was very awkward. We hadn't spoken in months. I was flustered and overwhelmed by all the people. She still seemed interested. I didn't get to speak with her one-on-one. My roommate encouraged me to message her the next day. It seemed like God had responded to my prayer by literally bringing this girl to my dorm room. All right, readers, listeners, I haven't read this yet. What do you think he does? Do you think he reaches out, or do you think he discerns more? What do you think?
No, it's the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Does he A, reach out to her and ask her out like a normal person? B, write into a comedy podcast to get advice on what to do next? C, do nothing. D, date a different girl.
She seemed interested.
Do you want to use one of your lifelines?
It seemed like God responded to my prayer by literally bringing her into my dorm room. She goes to a different college, so they're not like on the same campus. So I sent a message the next day, apologizing for distancing myself and asking if she'd be interested in hanging out. She turned him down?
Whoa.
Oh my gosh. Now, I've dealt with rejection before, but I'm kind of perplexed why God would make it seemingly so obvious I should reconnect with her if I was only going to end up being rejected. I've been at peace with the situation until my sister brought it up over Easter, so why reopen the wound now? Could it all have been a massive coincidence, or should I just trust there's some greater lesson or plan in all of this? Sometimes the lesson is that girls are dumb.
Yeah, sometimes God isn't really... I don't think God orchestrated all of this, like, to teach you something about women in particular. This just happened to... This is just a thing that happened to you. This is not like... You're looking for a divine... providence where, I mean, there's always divine providence, but you're looking for this like grand plan, and it's not that clear cut. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you might never, ever, ever, ever in this life understand why this happened, and you need to be okay with that. Everything that you think that was the reason for this could all be wrong. You know, it might have nothing to do with you. It might have everything to do with like one of the 10 people that was in your dorm room that day that like, you know what I mean? And you will never see the experience that they had. It could be nothing to do with you at all. It could be someone that was in a car that like saw this group of people walking in to your dorm that like had a thought at the moment when they saw that group of people, and like their life is now it had nothing to do with you.
No,
right?
Yes,
you are. Yes. You are a worm. Okay.
No, man.
So I think I just need you to have this. You're 19 and you're a man, so I feel like I'm comfortable in being harsh with you. But you're trying to have this like broad perspective, but it's really just about you. You know? Like you're trying to have this like cosmic worldview of like, what is God doing for me? You know?
Yes,
like and it's like it's not about you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, God's probably trying to teach you something, and I'm sure you could learn a lesson of like patience or humility throughout all of this. But the lesson that you need to learn is like, you need to shoot your shot sooner, ask her out sooner, and, you just got to move on, you know, like it's probably not that much deeper than that. You're 19, you've learned a lesson. The next time you meet a cute girl at a party and you text her for months without asking her out, you'll know that that's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think, yes, it is funny. And I understand that you were building it up in your head to how it would end in a certain way, because we were doing the same thing. It was like all signs were pointed towards, hey,
yes,
another shot. And you did the right thing. And sometimes even when you do the right thing doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because other people have free will. I'm sorry, man. Sorry, man. I do warn and hesitate the discerning about like discerning crushes. I think a lot of time is wasted. And here, yes. And it's not because prayer is useless. It's because pray about more important things. I'm sorry. It's pray about more important things.
Yeah.
You know, look, when you get older and you have a job, you're going to start praying about your job. And it's like, sure, pray about your job. You know, your work is important, but it's like, what is more important is a relationship with the living God. And sometimes, you know, we treat God like pagans treat their idols. It's like, mm-hmm. if I pray about this the right way, I will get the favor I so desire.
I will get the thing.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And so that's sometimes how we approach relationships in prayer, is we try to pray about it the right way and figure out what we're supposed to do. And then if I do the right thing, then God will know that I listened to him, and then he'll tell me more clearly next time, and then I'll be able to do the thing. And then God is kind of just like, you're Cyrano de Bergerac, and God is, wait, no, God is Cyrano, and you're the guy who Cyrano helped get the girl from the play. You know what I mean? Hold on, let me look it up. You're Steve Martin.
Yeah.
In the movie.
You're right. You're right. You
God's whispering in your ear, and it's like,
yeah,
that's not God's job, you know.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
This episode of The Crunch is sponsored by Briefcase Marketing. If you work or know people who work or are a Catholic parish, you need to listen to this. Hold on. I used to work at a church. You guys know this. Yeah. And website design is very important to me, because it can be the difference between getting no phone calls from confused parents or 1,000 phone calls from confused parents about when your events are or where forms are located. You know,
it's dangerous. I've never worked in a parish, but I have used many, 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 many parish websites where I've spent, it's like with a machete in the African jungle trying to find the mass times. And I think we've all had that experience.
Yeah. And they're not updated
and they're wrong. And you show up and the church is empty and you miss mass for that day. And you call your dad and you're like, what do I do? And he says, I don't know. This is your fault. And it's just a mess. And you get yourself in a big old mess. And what Briefcase Marketing does, they make sure that mess doesn't happen. You know, nobody has to go through that. Yes.
The Catholic Church, as you know, Ethan, needs beauty in all of its areas, in the physical world, but also in the digital world as well. And they focus on beauty.
That's why I post pictures of myself online every day.
And that's why I consume those photos. Indeed. I make sure to consume them every time. But, you know, It's hard to know exactly what a good website looks like, especially if you're not a pro. There's a je ne sais quoi about website design. You know what I mean? Yes. We're like something that Deacon Steve, I know many Deacon Steves, wonderful people, but something that Deacon Steve thinks looks great is actually super hard to navigate and is obscene. But see Dan over at Briefcase Marketing, he knows what looks good and is easily usable by old people and toddlers alike.
Yes. Yes. And the nice thing is he's got experience. This is not just some startup guy who doesn't know what he's doing. He's worked with small Catholic parishes all the way up to $250 million companies. So this is a guy who has a ton of experience and knows what he's doing. He's going to be very professional. He's going to set up your website. He's going to help you walk through it. He's going to maintain the website for you, do everything that needs to be done, so that the people that just want to know when mass is and just want to know where the fish fry is located on the parish grounds can find that information quickly and easily.
I want to give you an example of something that he did for a parish in Ohio that he can do for your parish. So if you want this at your parish, just, you know, I'll give you a call to action at the end. Go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase actually to sign your parish up. But St. John Cantius had this old website that was just awful. It needed an update. It was one of the most beautiful churches in its area, but no one knew that because the digital footprint of the parish was weak. Was ugly. And so so Dan came in and he provided a professional photographer to capture the church. The photos were used across all marketing material, including the website. He designed CTA buttons to get people to sign up for events all throughout the website, so people that are thinking about joining the parish could join and actually become a part of the community. And since that launch, they've received nothing but positive feedback from website visitors. They had an easier time navigating it. There are more people were able to show up to parish events. And they were able to quickly send updates without those spammy pop-ups you see sometimes on websites. So if your parish is having that problem, that's the problem that Dan can solve. So go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase, fill out a quick form, and Dan will get in touch with you, see how he can help you. It might be a big project, small project, whatever you need. Email Dan. Well, not email, sorry. Go to thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Professional podcaster, this guy right here.
Thecrunchcast.com/briefcase, Briefcase Marketing. Thank you so much for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. I think more guys should watch 500 Days of Summer. and realize that Joseph Gordon-Levitt in that movie is a warning shot across the bow.
Oh yeah.
Of this guy is miserable and miserable to watch and just like a horrendous. I think there's a lot of guys that write in that are Joseph Gordon-Levitt and a lot of girls that write in that are Zooey Deschanel from 500 Days of Summer.
Sure.
I think everybody should watch this movie and understand that like you having this like dreamy idea of how things are going to work out never goes the way that you're going to think. The woman is always going to disappoint you because what you're really looking for is God. And so just kind of get a hold of yourself, please. Yes. I just need everyone to calm down. And like what you're saying about prayer, just action, just take action. Like we're supposed to be creatures that do things. And I think because of society, if I can be so bold as to put on my Joker mask for a minute, we live in a society that does not reward action. It rewards inaction because you cannot take action and you can be perfectly content. You can kind of sedate yourself with non-action and even convince yourself that you're doing something. By like Snapchatting a girl every day, you know? So like you're talking to a girl every day and it feels like you're doing something, but you're not really doing anything at all. You know, you can have 1,000 conversations with people over Snapchat or over text message that don't amount to a hill of beans when compared to like a one real in-person conversation. And so it feels like you're doing something cause you're with the phone and like things are happening and your time is being occupied, but you're not really doing anything. So like, pray always, but like default to action because God is going to like, this is how God works. Is he like all throughout the Bible, when people do nothing, unless they're specifically instructed to do nothing, they don't get rewarded for doing nothing. You know? The people who take action, even the people who go the wrong direction, like Abraham still or gets Jonah. The blessing or Jonah, they still get the blessing. They still get rerouted to where they need to go because they've taken action. At least Jonah was afraid enough to go in the opposite direction. You know, he was like, I'm not doing that. I'm doing something else. You know,
I'm getting on a boat. He didn't have to get on a boat.
Right. He could have just sat in his little town and kept doing what he was doing. A message from the Lord.
And then when he did sit and do nothing, God kind of messed with him a little bit.
Right.
Remember that?
What? When he sent down the black gospel choir in the belly of the whale?
No, and he sent the Indian worm.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy that they made the worm an Indian. That's so funny.
Dude,
an Indian who sold tchotchkes, by the way.
Yeah. Have you heard the belly button song? It's a boy band song from VeggieTales, and it's Mr. Lunt singing about how he's like he doesn't have a belly button, and there's a rap break with the worm. Oh. You gotta listen to it, man. Okay. It's so funny. It's so funny,
dude. That's nuts.
He's singing about how he doesn't have a belly button, and the worm comes in and raps about how like you can. It's pretty funny. Like your umbilical equivocal is up there on your head, and it's like it's where your belly button is because it's a
gourd,
and then. The way he ends it is like you can get a prosthetic. It's covered by your shirt, but not your HMO. And I was like, that's so funny. Kids aren't going to understand what that means.
Yeah, what are we doing? Why is the Indian rapping about health plans?
Oh man, that's good. We got one last question.
Okay.
Do you have anything else for this?
No, I think I made my point.
I will say, he is acting. He's not simply praying.
I agree. The fact that he asked her, you know, the action is just too late, right? He should have taken action when they were texting
a while ago. And
don't discern.
Okay. If this makes it on the pod, please change my name. All right. Great. I don't know what it was before, but there's no name there.
His name is now I'm just looking at a name here that I see on my computer screen. James Donald Forbes McCann.
I'm a 24-year-old college campus minister. Not. Oh, this one's good. All right.
Yeah.
I'm 24 years old. I'm a college campus minister. One of the female students is technically a junior, but is graduating early after doing a summer semester. I've developed feelings for her. I also set a hard boundary for myself. I don't want to be the guy that asks out students. That being said, how do I approach this? I'm totally fine just letting it go and keeping that boundary. I would also be open to asking her out as she is close to being done with school.
I've also done this. So when I was a focus missionary, there was a student there that I also developed feelings for, and then I dated after she graduated. It ended very quickly. It's a little messy, you know, sure. These things happen. It was weird.
Yeah.
But like, had things gone differently, I think it would have been fine. You know, I think it was external factors. It was more related to like distance and where she wanted to go and where she ended up. And then I was staying in Tulsa. Like there were a lot of other things at play beyond just like she used to be a student and then she wasn't a student anymore. So I don't think it's like that weird. She will be like 21 when you're 25. So as long as you're okay with that, I think as long as you
technically a junior.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's so, probably 21 now. 3 years isn't that bad when you're in your 20s.
No, it's not terrible. Yeah. I would just say wait until she graduates, you know, or is like close to like the last week of school or whatever. And just say, hey, you know, I've really enjoyed getting to know you. You're about to graduate. Do you want to go out with me? And then she'll either say yes or no. You know what I mean?
I'm not even that worried about it. I think it's if you make it weird, it's weird. But if you don't make it weird, it's not weird.
Well, but it's not just him. Like, he probably has a priest and like a boss at the campus center.
Sure.
Where it could be like precedent, you know, or just in a ministry context, there is a power dynamic too, where it's like student, teacher, you know, at a Newman Center.
I guess from my perspective, the college campus minister is really just the guy who organizes the hangouts. You know, it's like, I would foresee it as like, I, as a male campus minister, am not directly responsible for the souls of my female.
True. I agree.
You know,
I tend to agree. Yeah. I actually think
the reverse is weirder. Is like, I think the reverse is weirder. If you're like, actually, no, I can't date her because I'm responsible for her soul in some sense.
That's true.
It is weird to take responsibility for her soul because you're not dating her and she's not your child. She's an adult woman that is not related to you. And so, and like, you're not a priest, you know? And so it's just like, I think the opposite is weird. I understand that in youth ministry, it's different because they are children.
Yeah.
You know? And so like taking some responsibility for their soul it kind of makes sense because you're an adult. So you have like a fatherly relationship to them. But in the college campus ministry, the whole point is like your peers.
Yeah.
And you're just the peer that's responsible for organizing things where they can, you know.
Yeah. I would just hate for like a board member to like get wind of something. And then like the board talks about it at a meeting and then they're like, you get disciplined or whatever. Like, it's not so much like that this guy is doing anything wrong, but it's like, because there might be a perception from other people that have a say on this guy's job, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I think it's probably just safer for you to maintain employment and for there not to be any like weird, because Newman Centers are small. Like, people start talking and then there's this like perception of drama and it's like not really drama, you know? So it's just like best to wait until she graduates. And then if anyone has a problem with it, it's like, what's the issue? She's an adult who doesn't go to school here.
Yeah.
What's the
problem?
She
graduated.
You know? So I think just to protect yourself from like misunderstanding like any actual,
I guess
I was talking about.
Prudence in the situation would probably necessitate that. I'm just of the opinion that I think we shouldn't put too much weight
on
the relationship between a campus minister
and a student
and their opposite sex students.
I agree.
Perhaps wait on their same sex students, because from what I understand, especially in Focus, that's why they have men and women on campus, is so that you can form deep relationships with the men and not the women. Yes. So, you know,
it didn't work for me, but what can you do?
Well, I mean, yeah, because I think that's you're like fine. That's, the reality is that any deep relationship you form with one of the women is going to have a romantic tinge because you're both single Catholic people that are not the same sex.
Yes.
I think we just need to be a little more realistic and not, this is, it's trying to separate, it's trying to make things cleaner by pretending there is a separation in the relationship where in reality there is not.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, you're both two human beings that are about the same age and you're a man, you're a woman, and you have a lot in common. And so it's like,
yeah.
So let's keep those things separate, you know?
Yeah. I'm with you. I think you should date her. I think you should ask her out within the last couple of weeks of school. Don't be weird about it.
Yeah.
As long as you're not weird, she's not going to be weird. And I doubt she's going to be like, can you believe that this guy asked me out a week before graduation? No, everyone's going to be like, yeah, you're cool. He's cool. You guys get along.
Yeah, what do you mean?
No one will care. I think go for it, man.
She's graduating early after doing a summer semester this summer. Ask her out this summer. No one cares about the summer semester. No one's on campus.
It's not real school. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fake. She's basically graduated at that point. Ask her out ask her out during finals week. No one's paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Go for it. Let us know how it goes. We're rooting for you.
Actually, it's probably your best case scenario because you're kind of off and so is everyone else. And so you guys can just kind of like have the relationship. And then when she does graduate, you guys can figure out if you want to keep it around and then nice clean break if you don't.
Yep.
Good talk. Proud of you, man.
That's all that we have for today. That's all the advice. If you have a question, you can go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord. You can go to our Dating Corner channel in the Discord server and ask your question, and we will answer it live on the show. Unless you say, please don't put this on the show, in which case we'll do it anyway. So that's where you can go. If you like our show and you want to support us, patreon.com/thecrunch. You get a bonus episode if you give us $10 a month, which is like a dollar per episode. So if you think this episode was worth a dollar, go on over to Patreon. You get a bonus episode. You get to support us. We're doing big things, and we want you to be with us along the way. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
I need to pray about it.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you, and we'll see you all next time.